Holy praise.
It was forced, one person, I just didn't feel like praising him myself. Your flesh doesn't want to do it.
Amen.
It's like your flesh doesn't want to get out of bed. Your flesh doesn't want to sit in church. But we ought not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
I was kind of joking about this boots. I saw they're 3M insulated. I learned what that means is they go to the shipyards in Bangladesh where they disassemble ships and recycle them. They take all the asbestos off the pipes. They grind them up and 3M makes insulation out of them. 3M insulated. Excellent at marketing. Years ago at a yard sale, I had a cheap dollar knife out there along with other knives, and a man came up to me, and he knows knives, we talk knives, and I told him, it's just a cheap dollar flea market piece of junk, and I said, sir, that's genuine steel. And he said, that's genuine German steel. He said, yeah, he goes, it's probably a BMW last year. They found out it's a whole lot easier, a whole lot cheaper to just take all the stuff we throw away, grind it up, and use it again. But every time they use it, the quality gets worse and worse and worse. Kind of like most preaching you hear. It's just recycled. We want to spend the time to mine it out of the ground, to forge it in fire, and to temper it. So just recycle. God forbid. Had numerous people over the years try to be funny with me. They say, oh, you're one of those evangelists. I guess you got 5 sermons and 2 extra ones in case you preach on a Sunday. And I immediately say, no, sir, I only got 3. I just changed the titles. I've heard probably 12 people over the years preach that old Maze Jackson, what to do when you don't know what to do. And you know what it boils down to? It boils down to they just say, stand still. I can say that in 4 seconds. I'm not being funny, I'm being serious. I hope you weren't going to preach that probably. That'd be embarrassing. That'd be terrible. 3 times in one summer, I heard men preach on He's the eye in my store. Point by point, same message. Why? Because people liked it. That's why Paul told young Timothy to preach the word, not somebody else's.
Right.
Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort, not encourage, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? Because of this day. Men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts.
Right.
What does that mean? They're sitting there wishing they could hear something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Mr. Cornelius, Peter, says to me, I forgot there's 2 here. Anytime you get 2 of them in a room, it's usually armed guards.
We got Caleb in between us.
That's probably good. He said, I initially just made myself praise God. I said, well, yeah, of course. This morning I made myself read the Bible. Don't even act like you wanted to. I made myself pray. I made myself come down here twice to pray today.
Amen.
Just hoping somebody would notice. I had an opportunity to let everybody know how spiritual I was. I thought I'd take advantage of it. I'm not fasting, but boy, I sure am hungry. So anyway, you'll pat me on the back later for praying twice today. At least 3 minutes each time. You got to make yourself pray. You got to make yourself get out of bed. You got to make yourself seek God. It's not going to be natural to you. Now listen, I've been saved 27 years. as far as I'm concerned, probably the most spiritual person I know. I still struggle with naturally, automatically seeking God. They say when you say 28 years, it starts to click, but I'm hoping. Those of you who don't know me, sarcasm, cynicism is based on my ministry, so just throwing that out there. If you don't know what that means, we'll look it up. There's things you do because God tells you to do them. And it's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's not your comfort zone. It's what God said. So with all that in mind, I was trying to think of a message. One guy prayed tonight and said I would speak. And I said, well, a speaker is up on the ceiling. Amen. You want a speaker, there's a speaker. You want a preacher, you better pray. So I did what most do. I went on the internet. I went to Sword of the Lord, Faith and Family. I couldn't find anything that really fit, especially after last night. How do you mold something to that type of environment? And so I was looking for a message, and I went out. I actually went to a couple of Pentecostal websites. I couldn't find anything. So I asked my daughter. She said, Dad, I'll find you a message. So she turned to Psalm 113. She hands me my Bible and said, Daddy, preach this. I said, okay. Does that bother any of you? You see, it's okay to go to the Sword of the Lord and get a message. It's okay to recycle somebody else's message. It's okay to not spend any time with God and wing it off the cuff about something you know nothing about. It's okay to stomp and snort with no content. It's okay to do all of these things, but you can't ask your daughter for a message. Well, for those of you that are struggling with that, at least it wasn't my wife. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O you servants of the Lord. Now listen, I promised my daughter I'd preach this. Man of my word. I'm not going to swear to my own hurt. You say, how long did you study it? Oh, about 27 years.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Now I know it says, oh, you servants of the Lord. It says, praise the name of the Lord. And then it said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And then it tells you this, and this will help some of you. This will choke some of you. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised.
Amen.
Well, I just didn't feel like that. It didn't come naturally to me. But you're spiritual, right? You woke up this morning, you're spiritual. So the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. I die to what I want, die to my opinions, my thoughts, my whims, my lust, my wants. Why? That I might know his thoughts. So when the sun comes up, what ought we to do?
Praise him.
Get coffee? I'll be personal. Get Diet Mountain Dew. Praise him. He's worthy to be praised. Just that little prayer of thanksgiving. That word of thanks. I watch heathens in the restaurants offer thanks. And I see God's people that don't. And God's given us so much and been so good to us. He goes on, he says, the Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens, who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high. Notice this, who humbleth himself. God has to take a step down to notice this, to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He has to humble himself. to behold them. God has to humble himself to see you. He is that high. He is that potentate. We do extol him. It's a little Bible lesson. I've only preached it about 15 times in Blaine, 22 times here. And asked some folks the other day, you know, I looked at them like a deer in the headlights, so I realized nobody's listened to anything we say all these years. So let me just explain this real quick. As far as I can tell, scripturally, to exalt him is to lift him to that highest place above all others.
That's right.
Amen.
To magnify him is to make him appear larger than what he appears to men.
Oh, that's good.
You can't make him larger. But men see him as this little minuscule God.
Yeah.
So come magnify the Lord with me. And then he says this, yeah. Let us exalt his name together. So we make him larger than people think he is. And then we exalt him in that highest seat. But you know, to extol him, E-X-T-O-L, to extol him is to put him in the utmost highest of all. He is that King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. There is none higher than him. I'll tell you how high he is. There's only one seat reserved for him. Because he is that only potentate. You exalt him above all kings of the earth. You exalt him above all that dwell on the earth. But to extol him is to put him in that one place that is reserved solely for him. As King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Yet he humbled himself. How did he humble himself? To the death of the cross.
Nice.
To behold us, he had to humble himself. To see you, he had to humble himself. He goes on and says, he raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. You know, folks living in the dung heap won't praise him. Folks on the golf course won't praise him. Folks living under the bridge won't praise him. Folks in their gated communities won't praise him. For the same reason the folks in church won't praise him. They don't need him.
That's right.
I got all this figured out.
Yep.
There it is. I said, well, let me go through that. We'll find out where to stop. I got all this figured out. I take my vitamins. Got my nutrition. Now listen, I'm not mocking, making light of this. Far greater man than I could ever expect myself to even think about being. I heard Brother Rester Roloff here. They're talking about these lazy mothers cooking these vegetables. And I almost tried to get a copy of that sent out to you lazy mothers cooking vegetables, but we don't really cook vegetables in our house, so. He said, you're cooking all the nutrition out of you, killing your children. He said, you ought to juice. Juice everything. He was preaching. I mean, he was preaching it dogmatically. And I realized, you know why God's taking that when nobody preaches that today? Because the people that do preach it are lunatics. They don't preach the gospel, they preach health.
Right.
Just say amen on that.
Right.
And all you unhealthy slobs that don't care about your bodies, just listen to what I'm saying. You ought to try to take care of yourself.
Sure.
But it's not a doctrine.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right.
Somebody puts something in front of you, you eat it.
Yep.
Amen.
Right.
Just tell me what the Word of God says. You don't take any thought for it.
Right.
They're trying to be unkind about it. They've made that the gospel of health.
Right.
Got to walk so many miles and, you know, drink so many gallons of water and do so many of this and so many of that. And then you die.
That's exactly right.
And then this is your life. It's a vapor.
Yep.
Oh, he was a great preacher. Every day I'd see him jog by in the mornings, 5 miles every day. What a Christian. Only 8 carrots.
My.
What a Christian.
Spiritual.
I heard a man preach an entire message one time on the nutritional value system and diminished pork and elevated venison to such a level. It was the most nutritious meat you could eat. I spent an entire message preaching on that dogmatically. But he was at Concord Baptist Church in Lexington, South Carolina, preaching that. The pastor got up and said, "Hey, we're all going to Waffle House." True story. Everybody's chasing all these dreams and all of these ideals, and we're all going to live forever. We're all going to take care of our health, and we're all going to be happy. And then real life sets in.
That's it.
That's it.
All of a sudden now we're afflicted.
Yep.
All of a sudden now we get feeble.
Right.
You see, we never needed God before.
Never did.
Now we're infirmed. Things have come upon us we've never had to deal with before. Now listen, I myself, personally, was in great health until I was about 18. Amen. I never broke a bone until I was 50. I didn't have brothers. I never broke a bone until I was 15 years old. I never really understood how bad my health was until I was about 35. Really found out how bad my health was when I was 45. This morning, I really found out how bad my health was. Tomorrow morning is going to get worse. Let me ask an expert. Does it get better?
I got this far the way I've been eating.
Well, Sammy Allen said about the Lee Roberts, he said pork killed him. 95, pork got him. I'm not diminishing the fact that if you want to eat healthy, I'm not diminishing the fact that you need to take care of your body. But the point is we worry so much about those things that we don't need God.
That's it. Something far greater.
We don't need it. We don't need God because we've got it all figured out.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. To the nursing home a couple months ago. I was visiting there in the nursing home. I listened to a man tell me about this problem and this problem and that problem and all the people are against him and all these issues against him and how the whole world's against him. And I realize I'm talking to a man that's what he's lived his whole life, only now he can't hide it anymore because he's too afflicted, he's too feeble. He's just telling you what he really thinks. Everybody is at fault. Everybody's wronged me.
Right.
Everybody's hurt me. Everybody's against me.
Oh my.
He said, "You know why I'm in here?" I said, "Yes." He's, "I can't take care of myself anymore." Oh, not me. I said, "Not me. I'll never be there. I got it all figured out." But do you?
Right.
Death comes. I pray for God to be merciful to people.
Right.
Yeah. So I've watched them languish for years. Mm-hmm. Misery and woe. Suffering. Angst. You've left me here for two hours in a dirty diaper. Mm-hmm. Grown people. Aged people, infirmed people. The podcast tomorrow, I deal with this. You're the high priest of this earth. We're infirmed, just like the rest of us. So God will remove them from that office. They didn't have that strength to go anymore. Oh, but I'm going to be the exception.
Right.
That's why we have a high priest who is touched, with our infirmities.
Amen.
That holy Son of God.
Amen.
This is my grandma's 102. She told my mom the other month, she feels like she doesn't have long to live now. She can still walk, hear, see, communicate. My aunt lives close by, comes over a couple times a day to check on her, to help her. She'll fry an egg and go nap for 2 hours. Now, it's not laziness. Sometimes I fry an egg and go nap for 2 hours. That's just laziness.
Right.
She was born in 1922. Put that in perspective. Warren G. Harding was president. Put that in perspective. She's a nurse in World War II. Went through the Great Depression. All of these things, this long life, 102 years of strength, always strength, always doing, always working, always laboring. Rebecca's daddy died at 67. He worked just as hard, loved the Lord, gave his life to ministry. How do you explain that? He said, oh, this won't come upon me. I believe Brother Roloff was 60, 61 when he died in the plane crash.
Right.
That won't happen to me. Surely that won't happen to me.
Good.
Why? Because I'm my own strength. I don't need God to lift me up. I don't need God to pull me out. You realize that same man I visited sits there? They take all of his money to pay for his nursing home care. A man that worked, a man that saved, a man that used to tell me how much money he'd make and all the things he'd buy. And you realize all those things he bought sat in an apartment until he didn't pay the rent, but didn't know he wasn't paying the rent because he'd had a stroke, and they took everything and junked it on the curb. Everything he owned was put on the curb. When I went to see him, he had a couple of pieces of electronics, a laptop computer, a phone, about 4 pairs of underwear and 2 pairs of sweatpants. To his name. He said, they're giving me $50 a month to live on. That's all I got. They're taking everything from me. And I worked all these years. Now listen to me real close. I took my wallet out. I want you to listen real close when I say it. I said, Dad, how much do you need?
Amen.
I'm not talking about a stranger. To my own flesh and blood. He said, why don't you kids come visit me? I said, you're the one who moved to Indiana, not me. When I was 10, you're the one who moved out, not me. When I was 24, you're the one who moved to Michigan, not me. When I was in despair, where were you? And I've done nothing but try to show him mercy.
Amen.
I've done nothing but try to be kind.
Amen.
Because all my life I've watched a man torment with the pain and the hurt of his life. I watched a man suffer in agony and torment of the abuse that he suffered, then the abuse that he suffered upon others. And now he's sitting there slowly decaying in a government-run nursing home in Evansville, Indiana.
Oh my.
And now when he needs God, he can't find him. I said, when he needs God, thank you, sir. He can't find me. It's too late. You see, when you talk about death coming quickly, the car accident, the stroke, the heart attack, going suddenly, those that rejected Christ, suddenly they're dead. What about those languishing for years? What about those suffering for years? I'll be real personal. I know it's going on Facebook. It don't bother me. It's too late for him anyway. He's alive. Unless he listens and obeys the gospel, he's in a lot of trouble. I hope my sisters will listen. Told him about it. I'm not bitter with him. God took care of that.
Amen.
I told my wife, you pray, God will give me opportunity to speak to him. God did. But for 78 years, he's done this.
Oh my.
And for 78 years, he's done this in the house of God. For 78 years, he's done this seated of a church pew.
Shame.
For 78 years, he's done this as a preacher's son. His uncles were missionaries, pastors, church planters. For 78 years. So when his son came in his darkest hour, he said, Daddy, talk to you about something. He would not receive it. Bible says, praise the Lord. He's worthy of that praise.
Yes, he is.
Some of you will go home with that message blocked out of your mind, and you'll blaspheme and mock and scoff at those that praise him. You'll blaspheme the name of God. You'll turn your heart against God. You will not receive truth inwardly. I got this figured out. I know what I'm doing. I got a good plan for my life.
Oh, no.
But you don't.
No, right. Right. Amen.
That's right.
Because your life is that vapor. Yet God wants to lift you out of the dunghill.
Amen.
Can I give you a little hint about something? If your life stinks, you might want to look where you're living.
Right.
If there's flies around you a lot, you might want to think about your life.
Right. Yeah.
I have people say, I just don't have the luck that you have. I don't have any luck.
That's right.
If there's anything good in my life, it's Jesus Christ.
That's
it.
Amen.
I want somebody to. This needs to really bother some of you. Mm-hmm. People say, well, I'll just keep on working. Well, I've heard that before, too.
Yeah.
You may not.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
God's given every opportunity. I'm young. I have my life before me. Mm. Going to the Western Maryland Hospital. First place I cut my teeth preaching. I found out I was too dumb to know. I thought, man, they're honored to have me here. I found out the reason I'm a preacher is there's nobody awake to listen. You know why? People my age and much younger. People your age. Laying in bed, feet curled up, hands curled up, feeding tube ends rolling out of the side of their mouth. That little auxiliary volunteer lady would walk around and she'd say, this is Margaret. She was in a car accident. This is Benny. He was 41 years old. He had a stroke when he was in his early 30s, been in here for 11 years. Some of them been there 15 years, some of them 20 years. You know why? Because they got hurt so young, they had to be in a hospital till they died. Some of them were living in their 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
A catatonic state of misery. I'd preach. There's a man there, and his scars all over his head from the surgeries. Hands curled up, feet curled up. I'd preach, and it'd just make guttural sound. Oh, 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 the whole time I preached. And I begged God to give him relief. I preached down there, a little lady would come in her wheelchair, and she'd curse and blaspheme God and curse his name. She'd go through there, curse and blaspheme, and I finally learned she's lived her whole life cursing and blaspheming God, but she's probably religious. Till one day, she was in the right mind to a point. She came in there, we were singing. She began to sing the hymns, and God confirmed to me, oh, she was religious. But she was a blasphemer.
Right.
It's no fear of God.
None.
Because judgment's not speedily executed against that evil work. you know what? Men's hearts are fully set. He said, the preacher said, they're fully setting them to do evil.
Right.
Already made up their mind they're going to do evil. These young men living in sin, they already made up their mind they're going to do evil. Why? They didn't get judged. They tried it. Didn't nothing happen to them. Police didn't catch them. Right. Parents didn't catch them. Hey, judgment didn't fall. I got away with it. I'll do it worse. And I'll do it worse.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
And I know because that was me. That was the home I lived in.
Right. Yes, sir.
Hell, nobody caught me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Finally, just got to the breaking point. It got so bad. Well, Ronnie, we talked about the other day. I remember the first time the police pulled me over, and I wasn't nervous.
That's right. How about that?
I took my ticket like a man. I didn't cuss, scream, spit, yell. I just said, sir, I apologize for speeding on your street. That's relief, buddy. Yeah, how bad it was. I said this to some of you. It was so bad. I remember the first time my pastor came to me and said, can I talk to you? And I didn't get scared. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Because in my mind, I'm going, I didn't think I did anything wrong, did I? I don't have to worry about that anymore. Some of you just young men say amen anyway. Amen. Don't have to worry about that anymore. I don't preach a lot of heresy, and what I do is pretty minor. So, you know, I don't get called on the carpet a whole lot by the pastor. Other pastors call me on the carpet all the time because they think I'm an absolute heretic. There are people get uncomfortable, go, pastor, you know, he's preaching stuff we don't believe. And they go, well, we shouldn't have Brother McVeigh. Had to drop his support. It bothered him, that's why.
Right.
Got them old skeletons in the closet. Don't want them uncovered.
Yes,
But Don Green told us up in Michigan, Brother Zach and I, he said, you know what? They want to get rid of this old broom because, but the old broom knows where the dirt is. Amen.
Sin.
Oh, I got time. Greatest lie ever told. I got time. Can I be depressing for a minute? I know young Timothy here is set to get married. I know he's excited. He came to Vadis tonight, just tears run down his face. He missed her so bad, he was sobbing and weeping. I told him he faked a cold at work today just to get ready for the cry fest. Wouldn't it be a tragedy if it never took place? I knew a young lady. The joy, the planning. See, the 2 or 3 days before the wedding, he's killed. Head on in the collision. Off into eternity.
Yeah.
But see, we don't expect these things. That's why we call them tragedies.
Yeah.
Because of the unexpected.
Yeah.
But it happens to good people. And it happens to evil people. We just don't like to acknowledge it.
Yeah. No, we do not.
Nobody wants to talk about death.
Yeah.
My father certainly didn't.
Oh.
I left him with Dad. Please. Please search your heart. Take the word of God. Let God search you. No Bible in this room. No Bible in his drawer. I did see his phone. There was a Bible app on his phone. I'm miserable, he said. I'm miserable. I want out of here. I hate this place. Without repentance, there's a place a whole lot worse.
That's right.
That's right.
There are people in hell who would give anything to be at a government-run nursing home.
Yep.
There are people in hell who would give anything to be trapped in a body that doesn't work.
Yep.
The agony and suffering of this life.
That's right.
The people in hell that would relish burns all over their body. Tongue ripped from their mouth.
Believe it.
Than the suffering of eternal damnation. And we don't want to come to grips with that. Because we got this under control.
Yeah.
That's why it is mocking when he tells those young men, go ahead.
Right.
Go ahead, young men. Just live it up. eat, drink, be merry. But there's a day coming when youth is going to flee you.
Yep.
And you're going to be confronted with a real life and real problems and real hurts. And real sorrow. I had a precious lady in Virginia, told my wife and I some 9 years ago, I guess now. She was 95 at the time. And she said, "Brother Tim, all my family's dead." She said, "Everybody I know is dead." You know, the great tragedy of even today, the older you get, the more people you know that die.
Yeah.
The more funerals you attend. When you're young, you don't think about that. But the older you get, one by one, those older folks pass. The ones you love pass. The folks in church pass. I've got to the place now, I have friends much younger than I that have died and gone on before. 4 years apart, I buried two friends, were 29, both in the house of God, both living for God. Both died of cancer. I don't understand these things. Told you the story of the young lady's husband was killed in that motorcycle accident. The next day, she gave baby to their third child. Can you explain that to me? I can only explain it like this: as a God in heaven that knows. And he has touched the feeling of our infirmities. And he wants to pull you up out. He wants to give you relief. He wants to give you comfort. He wants to give you help. And he said, "I would, but ye would not." I told my daughter, I preached the chapter, that he may send him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now I'm going to close with this. This is not humor. Don't laugh. He'll even teach a lady how to clean her house. Keep her home. To raise children. Before, all she could do was hate her children. Hate her home. Despise her family. God can bring her up out of that dung. Put her in the king's house. And fill her womb with children. He's able to.
Amen.
Bless his name.
So brother preaches in the next hour. He's not going to teach. He's not going to play around. He's not going to speak. He's not going to share. But he preaches.
Amen.
Might be good to just go ahead and praise him.
Amen.